I would like to warn you that this episode of Off the Watch List is spoiler-filled. So if you've seen the movie, or you just don't care, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Off the Watch List. My name is Luke.
My name is Sophia.
And what did we... Oh, wait, you asked me.
It's been 84 years.
It's been so long. You asked, what movie did I watch this? Ask me.
What movie did you watch this
week? Let's restart.
No, let's keep this in.
All right. I watched My Big Fat Greek Wedding. That went about as smoothly as you would expect after a year-long layoff.
Yeah, so we released Whiplash fairly recently. We recorded that episode in January 2022.
December.
Was it December?
I think so. I think it was right before Christmas.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, December 2022. And it just came out. So this is the first episode we've recorded since then. Wait, no, then it would have been December 2021.
Yeah.
December 21.
A whole year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So we're very timely.
Cool.
But My Big Fat Greek Wedding, we watched it.
We did watch it.
This was your suggestion to me.
Yeah, I like this movie. My grandma loves this movie. She introduced me to this movie. there's an interesting list of movies that I first watched with my grandma, including My Big Fat Greek Wedding and Mamma Mia. Pitch Perfect.
It's like a little genre we have forming.
Yeah, like all like the classic pseudo-musical rom-coms. Yeah, and then I introduced it to a friend of mine like a week later. And we spent the next 4 years quoting it back and forth at each other. So that was fun. How did you like it?
I thought it was great. It was a really fun time.
Yeah, it's goofy.
It's like a great little indie film testament. It's like a small
it's
little
a nice
movie.
Feel good, yeah.
Yeah, written and starring one person, was nominated for an Academy Award. It's like every indie filmmaker's dream. And also, it's just like a fun...
It's funny.
It's like a fun, good movie.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so I have just a little bit of background and a few fun facts. This will probably be a shorter episode, a lighter one for sure. We had...
The movie's a bit short.
Sort of an intense last episode. Well, I don't know if we can use that as an excuse since it's been... A year and a half since we recorded
it. Was such
it,
a long but. Episode. It took me a year to edit.
Okay, so My Big Fat Greek Wedding. It was directed by Joel Zwick and written by Nia Vardalos, who also stars as Tula. It began as a one-woman stage show, also by Nia Vardalos.
A one-woman stage show?
Yeah.
It's so much about family and like Greek family and big family. And it's like, how do you do that with one person?
I was going to say, I don't know how you have this movie without Gus.
Yeah, or without, like, Ian, you know?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, somehow she did it. And I thought it was funny. She found some moderate success with this stage show. And one of the ways she did that was by advertising through sending flyers to every Greek Orthodox church in Southern California. So she actually like close to sold out the show just by advertising at the Greek churches. It is based on her own experiences of growing up in a Greek family and eventually marrying a non-Greek man. The stage show got made into a movie after Rita Wilson, who is also apparently of Greek heritage, saw the play and encouraged her husband, Tom Hanks, to produce a film version. Which is how the film ended up with Wilson and Hanks as two of its three producers. It spawned a brief TV series called My Big Fat Greek Life, which I have not seen. It also got a movie sequel, which I saw in theaters when it came out. And it has now been announced that a third movie is in the works, which
is
scheduled to be released fall 2023.
Oh, wow. Maybe we'll do a podcast on that.
Yeah, so that's honestly all I have for background, just pretty quick. And then I have a few fun facts.
Got some fast facts for us?
Some fast fun facts. So the Portocallos house, it's one of the earliest... There's a lot of like visual jokes in this movie, which is kind of funny. But that's one of the first ones you get. It's this beautiful house, but it's super, super Greek, like kind of... like stereotypically Greek, and its decoration, it's like got the Corinthian columns out front. I might actually not be Corinthian. It might be like Dorian columns. But it's got columns out front and, and like statues of all these like Greek gods. And apparently that house is a real house in a Toronto suburb. And most of the yard decorations and Greek accoutrements are actually there in real life. So they didn't have to add those. They just found that house. Until the movie Sing came out in 2016, My Big Fat Greek Wedding held the domestic record for the highest grossing film to never have been number one on the weekly box office charts. Yeah. So it's kind of a sleeper hit.
It just had legs. You know, like the movie just kept...
Yeah.
Bringing people in, which, I mean, that's the exact type of movie if you're a studio that you're looking for, is something that you don't need to be number one at the box office if you're number two for 5-6 months. Yeah. And that was the big success of Titanic as well, was James Cameron's Titanic was number one at the box office for like a crazy amount of weeks. Mm-hmm. I think it was in seat theaters for almost a year.
Yeah, like I remember
an incredible
that.
Amount of time.
Well, I mean, I don't remember that. I wasn't there, but I remember reading that. This reminds me of the little fun fact about advertising to Greek Orthodox churches. But the movie apparently was able to keep its catering budgets pretty low because wherever they were shooting, Greek restaurants would find out about the film and send over free food. So they just fed the cast and crew. And then Andrea Martin, who plays Aunt Vula, there's that scene. It's at Dancing Zorba's, the restaurant where Ian is meeting Tula's family for the first time. And Aunt Vula like reaches up. She's like, Ian, let me touch your hair. And she just kind of runs her fingers through his hair. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
Apparently she ad-libbed that because she forgot her lines.
Awesome.
And that's just what she went with to stall, which is
impressive.
I mean, hearing that like, oh, an actor forgot their lines or they ad-libbed this isn't necessarily the most interesting thing. But the fact that that's what she went with was just like petting this man's hair is funny to me. And finally, in the wedding reception scene at the very end of the movie, all of the people on the bride's side are actually members of Vardalos' family.
Oh, really?
Yep. So go figure.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so that's all I have for fun facts and background.
So, time to hop into a summary.
Let's do it.
So, we open the movie and we meet our heroine of the movie. Her name is Tula, played by Nia Vardalos, who is the writer, star, the producer of this movie. Yeah, writer and star. And she went on to also become a successful director. But we meet Tula, and she is, I believe she's 30 years old to start the movie. The reason that the one-woman stage play thing is so interesting is right at the beginning of the movie, the first thing that we set is that she lives in a very large Greek family. Mm-hmm. We meet her dad, his name's Gus, and her mom named Maria, and they own a little Greek restaurant. Where are they supposed to
Chicago.
Live? Chicago. Chicago, yeah. So they're living in Chicago. So yeah, Tula is a waitress at their family restaurant, which is
Dancing Zorba's.
Dancing Zorba's, yes. But very early on, we establish that she is sort of unhappy with her old-fashioned situation, you could say. Mm-hmm. She lives in a very traditional household. Traditional Greek household, which the movie kind of pokes fun at oftentimes through some great zingers, especially by Maria, her mother, which we'll get to relatively soon.
Gus just repeatedly tells her that she looks old. She's so old.
Yeah.
Why isn't she married yet? She's so old.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing is that she is past her prime and she needs to find a man so quickly so that she can have kids
because she's so old.
She's so old, and that's her drive in life is to have children. Clearly that's not what she wants for herself at the moment. And the inciting incident of the story is she's working at the restaurant and there's a guy who shows up. I think he's talking with a friend. His name is Ian.
Yeah.
And they have a little bit of banter back and forth. There's a line where she says that she's Greek, and she tells him that like she is his own personal like Greek statue, or something like that.
Oh, and yeah. She's just like super.
It's like awkward flirty because like, yeah. She's into him, clearly.
She's like never flirted in her life, presumably.
Yeah. And
I think is the implication.
But Ian seems a little charmed by it. He's like a suave, charming nice. Kind of guy.
Yeah. Oh, and this is actually because I, at one point in our To All the Boys I've Loved Before episode, mm-hmm. I mentioned, I don't know what the actor's name is. Let me see. John Corbett. He plays Lara Jean's father in To All the Boys I've Loved Before. Yeah.
Oh.
And he's the one that I said, he's in quite a few things, but whenever I see him, he's one of those actors that to me is just always like this his character. One role. So I'm like, oh, that's Ian from My Big Fat Greek Wedding in every role he plays. But anyway.
Yeah. So I actually think the reason that she starts talking with Ian in the first place is she sees him kind of looking at her from across the restaurant. So it's clear from the start that there's like mutual interest or attraction, mm-hmm. Which is actually one of the nice things about this. This is the highest grossing romantic comedy of all time, this movie.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And I think one of the things that makes it so kind of lovely and charming is that the relationship itself is really strong.
Yeah, like, the drama like, doesn't, is all external.
Yeah, and in a lot of rom-coms, you'll get like, it'll be like a will they, won't they situation.
Or contrived misunderstanding.
Yeah, just something in the second act that really throws everybody off and like, do they really love each other though? But in this movie, it's all about the pressure.
Fiona
of
was talking about herself.
Yeah, exactly.
Not about you.
Exactly.
But you didn't overhear that part of the conversation. And then you let her go to Lord Farquaad.
I'm just going to
let
that
one. What were you saying?
Let that one like sit for a moment. But all the conflict in this movie comes from the pressure of having a big Greek family and what it's like to start to fall in love with somebody who's not Greek, as you said, taken from Nia Vardalos' life story.
Yeah.
But anyways, Tula is feeling unfulfilled with her current existence, and she goes to her father and proposes that he allows her to attend college to help improve the Greek restaurant.
To learn about computers.
Yeah, to learn about computers, yeah. And to which she has a very negative reaction, accusing her of wanting to abandon the family.
Why you want to leave
me? Yeah, very, very quotable moment. Why you want to leave me? And he, is this also the Windex moment?
The whole movie is the Windex moment.
But this is when it's introduced. Will you explain what the Windex joke is?
I don't know when it's introduced, but yeah, there's like a running gag that like Gus thinks everything can be cured with Windex. so like periodically throughout the film, someone will complain of something like, oh, I cut my finger, and he'll pop up like, oh, put some Windex on it.
I don't know. I'll look it up right now. I don't know if Windex sponsored this movie at all. Like in terms of just like putting their brand all
Honestly,
over it.
I hope not, because it's funnier if they
No,
didn't.
Totally. It's totally funnier if they didn't. But tons of great advertising for Windex. I mean.
Yeah. Obligatory Windex is not a cure-all. Please don't use Windex for any medical purposes.
I can't seem to find anything super clear on if the original movie had any sponsorship with Windex, but Windex did sponsor the second movie's premiere.
Nice.
So it was My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 premiere brought to you by Windex. But
that would have been some crazy product placement if that is just the direction that they went with that.
I know. But I mean, I would kind of respect just like owning it. Like, this is our joke. But anyways, Gus does not want her to go to college. This is when you start to see the family dynamic a little bit. Mm-hmm. He like forbids her from leaving. And then Tula's mom, Maria, goes to him and basically convinces him that it's a good idea. So Maria convinces Gus to kind of go along with Tula's plan. So she's going to attend college to learn about computers. Yeah, we start to see as she goes to college and becomes a little bit more independent, this is when you have the classic rom-com transformation where she goes from wearing glasses to not wearing glasses. And it's just like a self-confidence montage kind of as she becomes more comfortable outside of the Greek family setting.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's nice that she kind of does this little glow up process herself of her own volition, and nobody's doing it to her or like really strong arming her into doing it.
As she's at college, she sees a flyer, I believe it is, on the corkboard for a tourism and computers class. and her aunt Vula, runs a travel agency and also a dry cleaner.
Yes.
Her husband. I forget what her husband's name is, but he's not a major character. Nah. Amvula is awesome. She's such a fun character. She's the best character. She's played by, I got to pull it up just so we can give her props.
I think Andrea Martin.
Yeah, Andrea Martin plays her. She's so fantastic. She comes to Aunt Vula with this and says, hey, I can apply what I'm learning in my computers class to your travel agency as well. And this is when...
Well, but there's one problem, which is that Tula is currently employed at Dancing Zorba's.
Which is Gus's restaurant.
Yeah.
And so how do we get Gus to release Tula to go to the travel agency? She goes to her mom, Maria, with this question. And Maria drops one of the most iconic lines, I think, from this movie.
Yeah, I think it's here. It could be earlier. I think it's here. But Maria tells Tula, the man may be the head of the family, but the woman is the neck, and she can turn the head any way she wants.
Yeah. And there's an excellent scene that follows up where Aunt Vula and Maria go with Gus to dinner, and
they're just eating at the restaurant.
They're just eating at Dancing Zorba's, where Tula is waitressing. And Gus asks Aunt Vula, like, how's business? And she's like, it's not good.
Woe to me. Business is bad.
Woe to me. Business is bad. And he's like, why? And she expresses how her relationship with her husband is stretched too thin by traveling between the travel agency and the dry cleaner.
He has to go to the dry cleaners and I have no time with him.
Yeah, she says it like super robotic, like she's reciting lines. It's so funny. And Gus like totally bites and he's like, well, like send your kid, Nikki, like to the dry cleaner. And she's like, wait a second, that's a good idea. And then that's when Maria pops in.
It's like, that would not be good.
That's not a good idea. And she talks about how Nikki doesn't know anything about computers. And so that's when Gus comes up.
I cannot leave my child at the travel agency because he does not know computers. And I need someone who knows about computers to work at the travel agency.
Yeah, and that's when Gus has the brilliant, brilliant idea all by himself that Tula, who now is going to college for computers, can go help with the travel agency. And that it's just like a hilarious moment where both the women are like, oh, what a wonderful
so
idea.
So smart. Yeah. Amazing. And he's like, you see, when you ask man. The man.
it's really
he's
funny.
So proud of himself.
So she's working at the travel agency, Tula is, and she's really enjoying it. And Ian walks by the travel agency and he sees her there and he's kind of surprised to see her.
She's like dancing. And
yeah, she's like having a good time. And he asks her to dinner. And one thing I actually like about this movie.
I just remembered that I think it happens in this scene when she notices him watching her where she like stands up and she's wearing the like the headset with the cord on it and she just gets yanked back to the floor. She's like, oh.
One thing I like about this movie as a rom-com is the characters have their meet cute before her glow up, and Ian likes her before her glow up.
Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, she's pretty and now Ian likes her. Mm-hmm. It's like he liked her, she had her glow up, and he still likes her.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. He asks her to dinner, but she knows that he's not Greek, and that's going to be an issue for her family. And so there lies the conflict of the film. How do we get her family to accept Ian? So she starts kind of going out with him, telling her family that she's doing a pottery class to cover her back. And while they're on a date, he realizes that she is the same girl that he saw and kind of had the thing for at the Dancing Zumba's place. And he's like, oh my gosh, you're
Did
the
you
wait-
say Dancing Zumba?
Dancing, Dancing Sorba. Dancing Zumba is something else. So he realizes that it's the same girl. And he's like, wait a second. You're the waitress that I saw.
And she's like, no.
She's like, no, I'm not. Because she's afraid that if he like remembered, I don't know if it's whether if he remembered the way she looked back then or like, I don't know what it's like really implying, but she just doesn't want him to recognize her.
Yeah, I think she was just insecure and didn't think that he would have liked her.
And yeah.
She's like, no, that wasn't.
But he doubles down on it and reaffirms that it's not a despite this sort of thing. Like, I like you. I liked you then. I like you now. And they really like each other.
Yeah.
And
he says, I don't remember Frump Girl, but I remember you. And she called herself Frump Girl.
Yeah. And so, yeah, then I believe they have like a dating montage here where they start to fall in love.
Yeah. It's cute.
It's like a nice, cute little montage. Eventually, Nikki, who is Tula's cousin.
Cousin Nikki. Another gag in this movie is that every other kid in the movie is named Nick, or in the family is named Nick or Nikki.
Yeah. So cousin Nikki is the daughter of Aunt Vula, right?
I think so. I don't know. But yeah.
But anyways, cousin Nikki barges into the travel agency and is like, she walks while in on, out, yeah. on Ian and Tula hanging out. And she basically says, she kind of flirts with Ian a little bit. But then she's
Mr. Pottery class. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. But she lets Tula know that the lie, that she's exposed, that somebody saw them doing something somewhere and now the family knows. And then we hard mm-hmm. cut to Tula and Maria sitting awkwardly at the dining table while we hear Gus yelling at Ian in the background about how furious he is that he didn't ask for his blessing. And then Ian is like, well, you know, she's like a 30-year-old adult. I didn't really think it would be necessary to like ask for a blessing to go on a date. And Gus is
a little like indignant.
Yeah, Gus is like furious. Like, what do you mean? How could you possibly believe that? And ultimately, Ian's like, well, can I have your blessing? And there's like a long moment of quiet. And then Gus just goes, no. It's so funny.
May but, I please date your daughter?
No. And so, yeah, like Gus storms back into the dining room and demands they stop seeing each other. But naturally, because their relationship is so strong, they keep going. And there's a fun montage where we're at the Tula's dad's house at the dining table, and he keeps inviting a ton of his Greek friends over to try and court her. And there's like they're just like random kind of older Greek dudes. With yeah, like mustaches like and it's just
which like in Gus's mind they're like the same age because Tula is oh so old.
Yeah, because Tula's so old, and it's just a funny montage of just like a ton of different Greek guys.
I don't know if there's any dialogue in that scene.
No,
but
it's just silence.
The funny part is you see Tula and her brother Nick like exchanging glances at the dinner table. Nick's like,
Ultimately, Ian proposes to Tula, and she is happy to accept. And Gus is refuses to kind of accept it at first, but once again, Maria talks him out of it. So, which is a kind of a running theme of mm-hmm. Maria pushing Gus to do things out of his comfort zone.
Yeah,
but Gus accepts under one condition, that he is baptized as a member of the Greek Orthodox Church. Mm-hmm. I believe he's a Protestant. Right? Is that what he says? But Ian agrees to do it, anything for his love. And once he is accepted into the family, they have a big business when they have the big banquet where all the family meets Ian.
Yes, I think so. They have just like an engagement party at Dancing Zorba's. This is where Aunt Vula meets Ian and she's like, let me touch your hair.
Yeah. And it's just a really funny scene because you totally... No one but someone who has lived this could write this
uh-huh.
because you just so feel the overbearingness of a huge family.
Mm-hmm.
Like me and my like Italian family, I kind of get it a little bit.
I mean, that's why my grandma likes this movie is like we would watch it together and she's like, you know, Italians are like this too. I'm like, yeah, I know, grandma.
But it's so funny because all the members of Tula's family come up to Ian and have just like things to say, like you're a member of the family now kind of thing.
Yeah, eventually, well, there's Tula's brother and cousins who several times started. I think here we'll come up to Ian and say like, oh, you should say these Greek words. It means like, let's eat. The family's going to love it. And it's something like really obscene.
Yeah. And then Aunt Vula talks about like she talks about the dinner that she's going to make for them. And Tula drops how Ian is vegetarian.
Which is a big deal.
And the entire room goes quiet. Not in this Greek family. You can't be vegetarian. And Aunt Vula goes, it's okay. I'll just make some lamb.
Yeah.
So it's a really funny, really great scene. And we see the wedding planning process as well, where the family gets themselves super involved in the plans for this wedding, hence the name, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Gus walks up to them and he's got the wedding invitations already made. And he's like, look, guys, I got these made for you. And they're like, oh, thanks. And they look at them and Ian's mom's name is misspelled. And it's just like they're very overbearing, taking the process out of Tula's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, they finally get around to, I think it's the week of the wedding or whatever.
Yeah.
But sometime. Ian's parents come into town and they have a big Greek dinner and it's like a lot.
Like, this is one of my favorite lines where Ian's parents bring a bundt cake as like a hostess gift and they give it to Maria and Vula and they're like, oh, thank you. And then they turn around and Maria's like, there's a hole in this cake.
Yeah, and this is when the Nikki and Nick gag is like fully put upon. Is the parents walk up and Gus, as the head of the family, steps out and he's going to introduce everybody. He's like, "This is my daughter Tula, and my wife Maria, and my son Nick, and my nephew Nick, and my cousin, my like niece Nikki." And just like he goes through like my five brother. To ten Nicks, yeah. And it's just like it's
Nick, Nikki.
Yeah, it's really funny, but they get super overbearing on Ian's parents, and Gus gets very frustrated at their seeming lack of appreciation for their hospitality. And
yeah, they're like extremely reserved, extremely like proper, and this is just entirely too much for them.
Yeah, and once again, Tula kind of goes to Maria with that, and Maria goes to Gus with that information. Thematically, the point is put across here that Maria tells Tula, goes a little bit into her backstory with like her young romance with Gus, and says that like we had a hard like early life together. We just want you to be happy and successful. Mm-hmm. We head straight to the wedding from here. There's still, by the time of the wedding, there's still some uncertainty on Tula's end whether her dad has fully accepted Ian as a member of the family. Mm-hmm. But we get to the wedding. Tula puts on like a tiara that was her grandmother's, and all the women of the family are very prideful and very happy for each other. And the wedding goes ahead, and they get married. And after the wedding, at the reception, Gus gets up there and starts to give a speech. And this is one of my favorite media speeches of all time. Maybe right ahead of one of my favorite media wedding speeches of all time.
Oh, okay, I was like, wow.
Right ahead of I think Michael Scott's speech at Phyllis's wedding, where he says they're the like
bonding of two medals,
gold medals. Here, Gus has a great quote where he says that here we have apples, and he points at the Greek family, and he's like, here we have oranges, and he points at Ian's family. He says that we're all different, but we're still fruit.
Yeah.
And everybody laughs. And it's just like, it's like a cute, like wholesome ending where it's like Gus finally comes to accept the difference that she's not marrying a Greek guy, but he's still a good guy. You know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And that is there's another like kind of running joke that's used there where in Gus has this thing he does where he's like, okay, give me a word, any word, and I'll tell you how the root of that word is Greek. But he like does this little connection where he's like, oh, Miller comes from the Greek word, I don't know, but meaning orange, and our name Portokalos means apple. There you go.
Yeah. And it's such like a grandpa-esque speech.
It is. And actually, another quick fun fact is that during one of Tula and Ian's first dates at a restaurant, you can see above their heads, there's like a vase of oranges and a vase of apples.
Oh, really?
So it's a little foreshadowing there.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's the only reason I went so into depth on that.
Great little filmmaking there.
We're all fruit.
So, and then at the end of his speech, Gus says that he's giving them a house. Great wedding gift. Everyone's surprised. They all dance together, and you have some wonderful ending monologue about how she has a big, weird, loud family, but she loves them all. Mm-hmm. And we pan out to see their new house, which is right next to Gus's house.
I don't know if this is Gus and Maria's house or the house that they give to Tula and Ian, but one of them has the entire garage door is painted with a Greek flag. And I can't remember which one.
We see Tula and Ian walking their daughter, who I don't know how old is she by the time
I mean she's a toddler Greek school on the weekend. Greek school.
So we see him now having a family and living right next to their family. So it's a really cute ending. It's just like a nice wholesome movie that the stakes aren't too high, but they're like personal. And it's like a great rom-com,
as we've been saying, some like really enduring jokes and running gags. It's got some really genuine comedy in there.
It was nominated for best adapted screenplay at the Academy Awards. Nice. You can really see why. Just there's so many lines in this movie that are either funny or quotable. Even just like the Windex bit,
very
like put some
quotables.
Windex on it, like it's so quotable. And I would highly recommend this movie to anyone who just like needs a nice relaxing evening movie, because it's like it's a perfect example of that.
All right. I think that's all I think for that's us. It. Yeah. Man. All right. If you
haven't been thinking of a zinger,
if you're married, if you've had a wedding, or if you're Greek,
if your wedding went better or worse than this one, we want to hear about it.
Send us an email about it.
Tell us about your wedding story.
At offthewatchlist@gmail.com.
Where else can you find us, Sophia?
We are also on Instagram at Off the Watch List Pod.
That's us.
I think that's it.
Yeah, we don't have any other social medias, do we?
No.
Maybe we should get on that at some point.
Off the Watch List, Watch List TikTok.
Oh, no.
Off the Talk List.
I'm going to let you sit with that for a second.
Okay.
I recommend you watch My Big Fat Greek Wedding if you haven't.
Yeah, watch it. It's a good movie. Very good movie.
Yeah, thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.